Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed on this December 1st day. Wow. First day of the month. I think it's a good day to start a fast. What about you? Turn that plate over for a little bit and just thank God for opportunity to wake up this morning, that he gave you a new day, a new pep in your step, a new hope in the future. Father God, I thank you for this day that you have made. Lord, I rejoice in it. For you have given us a do-over, Father God, an opportunity to be better today than we were yesterday, an opportunity to depend on you, Lord God, for it's your mercy that endures forever and all time. It is your mercy, Lord God, that gets us through our fiery furnaces and our lion's den. It is you, Lord God, that gets us through the floods of life. And Father God, I thank you in advance for getting me through mine. For Lord, I know that your word says you will never leave me or forsake me, and I stand on your word. Jesus, you said that whatever we ask in your name, you will do it. And I stand on your word. Father God, I believe and I trust in you that all things work for our good. And Lord God, as long as we are not praying amiss, Father God, I pray this word, Lord, will permeate someone's heart, mind, and spirit, that they will say, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved like Daniel? What must I do to be saved like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? What must I do to be saved and to make it through to the other day, to the next day? To make it through the trials and the storms of life. Lord God, you 100 into my life and ask you, Father God, to increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. And you, Lord God, are my redeemer. And I cannot do anything, Lord God, without you. I give myself away this morning, Father God. Use me for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, I lovingly pray, believing and trusting that all things are possible through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. Amen, amen. In his name I pray. And say again, amen. All I can say again, y'all, is what? It is a what great word this morning. It is a great word. It's a great word. And I'm grateful for God waking me up. You know how we sometimes just have a hard time getting to sleep, because we're thinking about this and we're thinking about that. You know, we're thinking about all the things that need to be done and, you know, and lack sometimes. Lord, you know, I got this bill to pay and oops, I'm not sure I got enough money. But I know and I believe in my heart that my Father God provides. I know and believe in my heart that all things will work out for my good because I'm trusting in God. You know, what we say on this blog is, I don't worry, I pray. So I give my situations to my God. You know, God already knows everything that's going on in your life. And he knows why they're going on in your life. What we have learned to say, you know, in the churches, you know, what do? We don't tell God our problems. We tell our problems about our God. Because we know that our God can solve any problem. As we go through our work this morning, Daniel, oh, hallelujah, prayed. Didn't worry. Prayed. He himself to God. Now understand that he's been in this exile since Nebuchadnezzar. Now there's a new king who's going through. And there's always schemers, always those folks that are jealous of you and will do whatever they can to get you off your square. Sometimes it's God's will for you to leave a situation and for you to go through. Because whatever you're going through, God is going to always be there to watch over you. So what do, we trust in God. We trust in God. So let's look at this word this morning, Daniel. Trust in God. And for those that are just joining us this morning, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And if you have that Bible, we are on page 1455 for December the 1st. We are in Daniel chapter 5 through Daniel chapter 6, verse 28. We will also have some life principles, some life questions, life lessons from Dr. Stanley. Our title is coming out of Psalms 136, verses 10 through 26. Our proverb this morning is Proverb 29, 12 through 13, which is a right now, today word. And our New Testament word is 2 Peter chapter 2. So thank you very much. Get your word out. Get your word out. As we say on Morning Glory Nation, get your Bible. So let's get our Bibles this morning, and let's get into our word together. Hallelujah. And again, if there is anyone who would like to read this morning, all I need you to do is push the number 1 on your phone, and you can go in and come in and read today. For the word of God is so rich and so good. That's all I can say. It's rich and good. And again, I'm always looking for someone who would like to read the word with me. So if you would like to read, push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. Call a friend and tell them to call 213-943-3597 because the word of God is going forth. Hallelujah. And the word of God says this morning, Belshazzar, the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple, which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubine might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drink wine and praise the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone in the same hour. The fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his hip were loosed and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck. And he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. And all I'm going to say is, you just think this through. You partying down with the communion cup. Hey, all right, party in the house. Now you understand what you're doing is wrong and sacrilege. And all of a sudden, you look up and there's this hand writing on your wall. I think I would be a little frightened. No, I wouldn't be a little frightened. I would be terrified. Come on now. And let's call it straight. He's terrified. Knees knocking. Joints loosed. He was terrified. And let's continue. It says, the queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, an understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods was found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, are you that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not give the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of you that you can give interpretation and explain enigmas. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. The Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up, and whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast, and his dwellings was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the finger of the hand was sent from him, and this writing was written. This is the inscription that was written. Mani, mani, tika. Your person. This is the interpretation of each word. Mani. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tika. You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Praise. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Don't mess with God. Don't think you're above God. Don't think that what you think you can get away with is all right with God, because it's not. God will humble you. He will take you down a peg, or he will take you out. And in the case of Belshazzar, took him out. I'm going, oh, go get the gold cups from the Lord's temple so we can drink wine and party over here with them. Dead as a doornail. And now everything that Daniel said, who is it coming in? Darius, a new king. Why? Because the previous one didn't have any sense. A new king, because he didn't learn from his father's mistakes. King, because he didn't stay with his father's edit that there was only one God. A new king. And it says this, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 stars. To be over the whole kingdom and over these three governors of whom Daniel was one, that the stirrups might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and stirrups because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors, instead of sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these governors and stirrups thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. The suck-ups is what I call them. They're sucking up to the king because they're jealous of a co-worker. Or they're sucking up to the boss because they're jealous of a coworker. Because that's what people do. They suck up so that they think they're going to get more than what you're getting, that they're going to get that raise, that they're going to get that promotion, that they're going to get everything. But you know what? You give them to God and keep it moving. Don't let anybody knock you off your square, because this is what the word tells them. It says, so these governors and seraphs thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and seraphs, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute. Been there, done that. Are y'all catching the drift? And to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. King, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. And I'm thinking the king is finally dawning on him. They have just set me up to kill Daniel. Because he liked Daniel. Daniel was doing a good job. And he realized after the fact, and with this irrevocable order, that he was setting up Daniel. They were setting up Daniel. So let's keep moving. It says, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Uh-oh, can we say Darius has got some faith up in here? I do believe that he has some faith up in here. Because what did he say? But the king spoke to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. He had faith that Daniel will be delivered. This Mede Persian, who was a king, had faith that Daniel would be delivered. Wow. Wow, is all I can say. And then it goes on to say, then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in to that and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamentating voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouth so that they have not hurt me. There's a why in there. God did not allow the lions to hurt Daniel. Why? Because he trusted in God. And why? Because the king had said, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. The king had faith in our God. Wow. This what some would call a heathen king had faith in our God. What did he just say to Daniel? The king spoke to Daniel. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lion? Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Hallelujah, Father God, I believe in you. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion and his dominion shall endure to the end. And he goes on to say, he delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel, a captive, remember, 70 years, they're going to be imprisoned. You know, Daniel was a teenager when he came to Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, they said they were supposed to eat all the luxurious and decadent and over-the-top food of the king's table. And Daniel said, not us. We're going to fast. We're going to eat fruits and vegetables. We're not going to drink wine. And what happened? God is good, and he watches over his children. He watches over his children. That's a moment when you think that you're going into the den of lions and that you may not come out. But Daniel did not think he was not going to come out. Even this heathen king said, what? That his God will deliver him. Your God, whom you serve continually. He will deliver you. Darius, have faith. Do we have Lion Den faith this morning? Do we have Lion Den faith that God will work our situations out? I have Lion Den faith that God is going to work out my situation. I'm believing God for working it out. Hallelujah. I know my God can work it out. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Jesus. And I have a life principle. We stand tallest and strongest on our knees. Ooh. Sister Carolyn tells us that. That's one of her Sister Carolyn's gift words, that we stand tallest and strongest on our knees. Got to get in that closet. Got to get your prayer pillow out. Got to get on your knees. Not just you, I'm speaking to myself here. You know, we got to start at home first before we go preaching the word out. We got to preach to ourselves. Trust in God. What did he say? Your God will. The God you serve continually will. He had faith that Daniel would not be eaten by the lions, that Daniel would not have a bone broken by the lions, that Daniel would come out of the lion's den, and he did. The king fasted for Daniel. You think that through. The king went on a fast for Daniel. Nothing, some things don't come but by fasting and prayer. And as we get into this word, it says this, we stand tallest and strongest on our knees. Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 through 11. We go over to verse 10. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed and he went home and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. So as was his custom since early days. Then he said, I was praying back then, and I'll keep praying right now. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Oops, aha, we gotcha. Got him now. This is what Dr. Stanley said. An older pastor got into the habit of challenging his congregation by quoting Jeremiah 33:3, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Leaving his eyes, leveling his eyes at those gathered before him, he would say, try it. It works. Hallelujah. Can we all try it today? Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Lord, I'm calling to you today, and I'm believing you for miracles, signs, and wonders. And it goes on to tell us, this is a very simple thought, but it carries a tremendous truth. God wants us to call to him. Many times, he allows disappointments to rake through our lives so that he might draw us closer to him. So, prayer is the most powerful tool a believer has. Nothing compares to it. In prayer, we profess our need of Christ and his solution to our problems. In prayer, we learn to worship him and grow spiritually in his loving presence. Don't worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit will show you. Tears are just as effective as words at times, and God is sensitive to every tear you cry. Just as he understands the hurt you feel, so he knows how to deal with the guide you deal with and guide you through any anger that has penetrated your life. God is bigger than any problem you face. He knows the way before you and and only He can guide you through the difficulty. Again, just think of it. Just close your eyes and see a maze. And that you got to get through this maze. But you realize that you keep hitting like walls. You keep hitting the maze until a light comes in. And then you see the hand of God leading you through the maze. Because He wants us to be led by His marvelous light. And that's not in Dr. Stanley's book. That's what God gave me. Hallelujah, Father God. I look for your light today. For your light at the end of this tunnel. I look for your light at the end of prayer. And I love this word one more time. God is bigger than any problem you face. He knows the way before you, and only He can guide you through the difficulty. When a trial hits, always respond first by going to Him in prayer. As you pray, hope invades your life and fills you with the assurance, reassurance of God's undeserving presence. Several things are essential to establishing a powerful prayer life. One is to choose a definite time to spend in prayer. Setting a time, whether early in the morning or late in the evening, is not the issue. Consistency is the key here. Ask God to show you the perfect time when you can be alone with Him, even for 15 minutes. God honors His prayers, the prayers of His people. If you come to Him, He will provide all you need for your prayer life. If possible, select a place where you can be alone with Him. You may need to consider obligations with young children. When it comes to prayer, you will find that God is very creative. He will provide the perfect place for you to seek Him, making the commitment an essential step. This alone tells God and that your heart is open to His heart and that you want to learn more about Him and the life He has planned for you. As we spend time with Him, God lovingly teaches us how to pray, how to listen for His still small voice as He replies to our humble requests. Prayer is a doorway to blessing and freedom from bondage. As we pray, God teaches us more than Himself and the principle warfare needed to combat the enemy. Ooh, what a word. Every day God calls us to put on the armor of God and to stand firm in our faith, Ephesians 6:10-17. The only way to do this is through prayer and complete reliance on Jesus Christ, who is Lord over all. I tell my congregation, and this is Dr. Stanley, that the distance between success and failure and victory and defeat is about 6 to 12 inches or whatever the distance is for you to drop to your knees and pray to your wondrous Lord and Savior. You never stand taller or stronger than while on your knees. Hallelujah. Over your lifetime, you will face many difficult situations. Some will feel very exciting and challenging. Whatever life sends your way, you can be sure that God cares. He enjoys seeing you excited over His blessings, and He mourns with you when tragedy strikes. Over the years, I have enjoyed keeping a journal that contains many prayers and God's insight for each request. You can do the same thing by writing out your need and the way God answers your prayers. Put that He will provide specific verses that apply to your situation. Look for your promises in His word. Claim them, write them down, and trust them. You will never be disappointed. My challenge to you is simple. Whatever you're facing, trust God with it. Ask Him to take away the anxiety, fear, and feelings of frustration. When you trust the Lord, you rest in His care. You probably could name at least one place where you feel safe and accepted. But there is no place where you will feel more accepted or secure than in the presence of God. All of this and much more waits for you to come to Him. Hallelujah. Father God, I come to you this morning, lifting up all situations into your loving care with faith, Lord God. I believe. And as the life lesson for Daniel 6 and 28 says, Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. God desires for you to live successfully regardless of your circumstances. Daniel lived well and lived successfully in the midst of his circumstances. And we are called to do the same, giving honor to the Most High God. And our title word comes this morning from Psalms 136, 10 through 26, verses 10 through 26. And it says, to him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his mercy endures forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Ooh, hallelujah. Sihon, king of the Amorites, he endures forever. And Or, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever, and gave their land as an inheritance, for his mercy endures forever, a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever, who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever, and rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever, who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. Praise the Lord this morning with me. Father God, I thank you. Hallelujah, Lord God, for your mercy endures forever. I give thanks to you, oh God. For you are the God of heaven's army. You lead us. You guide us. You are in charge of every life. Hallelujah, Father God. I give thanks to you this morning. For your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. We got to praise God and give thanks unto the Lord. For his mercy endures forever. I'm getting filled up. Hallelujah. Knowing that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in heaven. Hallelujah. We got to stand on the word of God, and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. And as we continue in this word this morning, in 2 Peter chapter 2, it says, but there were also false prophets. I forgot our Proverbs word, which is a today word. If a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become wicked. I'm going to read that again. If a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become wicked. Not my word, but God's word. The poor man and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. A word. A word from God in our Proverbs 51. And as we go to 2 Peter again, but there were also, I'm saying it again, false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And I'm saying this. And I'm sure that there are those that will be like, oh, she shouldn't say that. But understand how many pastors have died from COVID. How many pastors have died from COVID who stood up and said that vaccinations was not important, that their congregation didn't have to be vaccinated, that stood up and said that they were God, and that they were blowing the virus back to the pits of hell where it came from, that they were doing all these things because they were God. And some of them, I don't call them all, but some are dead from COVID. Understand, the only one that is in charge of anything is God. And if God sends you a boat, you need to get in it. Because God will send you a boat. If you can't take the vaccine, he's sending you a pill. And if you can't take the pill, he's sending you something else. God has got you covered. Yes, he does. But don't stand in a pulpit and blaspheme God. What did it say in our word this morning? And many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. What did it say? If a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become what? Wicked. That's a word. When we allow politics and lies and distortions come into the pulpit to hurt God's people, we will be held accountable. I can't tell anybody, and I won't tell anybody to be vaccinated. That's a personal choice between you and God. All I'm saying is, in my heart, I believe that God sent vaccines. And not just COVID vaccine, but all vaccines. I believe God sent into the world to help his people. That's what I believe. When I was a little kid and we had to take the polio vaccine and the measles and the mumps and all those vaccines that we had to take to go to school, I don't remember complaining about it or my parents complaining about it. I just got vaccinated. And when I got older and I had to get a booster shot, I got the booster shot and kept it moving. No big deal. But we have allowed people to make something that should have been a normal thing into something drawn out and made big, bigger than it was. And lives over 700,000 in this country alone have been lost because we made something that was normal into something different than what it was. I trust God, and I believe that God sends whatever we need to help us. That's my belief. You don't have to believe me. You don't have to say what I say. You can call me everything but a child of God, but I know what my daddy has done for me. And those that have been with me for all these years know that there were times where I couldn't talk at all because of bronchitis, because I couldn't breathe. But God, I'm thankful for God's grace. And this is what it says in this word of God. Be covenant by covenants They will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people. Don't let any pastor get up there and tell you that Noah had concubines and all these extras. No, the word of God tells us there were eight people. A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them was tormented in his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing the lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a revealing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, inciting unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices, and are cursed. They are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest. For whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? But when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error, while they promise them liberty. They themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed in her wallowing in the myrrh. This is a life lesson for this word this morning from 2 Peter here. A couple of life lessons. 2 Peter verse 1 of chapter 2. There were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And it says this, The best way to recognize counterfeit doctors is to become thoroughly familiar with the truth. Someone whose mind has been trained to know and love the truth will not easily be led astray by false teaching. That's why we study this word every day. That's why we read this word every day. That's why we have read from Genesis to 2 Peter. To get our minds understanding that it is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who guides us, who leads us, who sacrificed his life for us. Are blessed beyond measure because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, saved by grace. And this is what 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, life lesson. And it says this, they themselves are slaves of corruption. And Dr. Stanley says, people who encourage us to join them in their sin are like junkies who encourage people to join them in their drug habit. They promise a good time and a real high, but in fact, they are trapped in a destructive life cycle. And we know how folks love to flock. I call it the church du jour. Whatever is the church of the day, that's where folks are running. And that's not what God wants for us. He wants us to trust in him, to believe in his word, and to stand on his word. Like, he is merciful. He is a good God. He's a mighty God. And we must give thanks to him. Give thanks to the God of heaven for his mercy endures forever. He has forgiven us our sins. And we stand on his word. Oh, thank you, God, for allowing us to stay. To stay and to pray. What a mighty God we serve. I'm all filled up this morning. But before we get out of here today, a couple of words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word for yesterday was this. Things have a way of working out. Never underestimate the power of prayer and love more than anything. Never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Hallelujah. And the word for this morning is this. When God's word is abiding in our hearts, it makes us victorious over the enemy. Have a warfare Wednesday, family. Put on your full armor today and protect yourself from the wiles of the roaring snake, the sneaky snake who only comes to steal, to kill, and to devour. Thank you, Carolyn, for your mighty word this morning. So I say to you, family, today, keep God first. And know that he loves you more than anything. Give thanks to God, to the God, there's only one, of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. And I pray over you all. May the Lord watch between me and thee, while we are absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of the matchless Savior, Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And again, give thanks to the God of heaven for his mercy endures forever. And understand that when you're going through your lion's den, the lion's den of life, know that when you trust in God, that he's already shut their mouth and they can't move. Thank you, God, again, for your word. Thank you for your time. Thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name we pray, believing and trusting and giving thanks to the Most High God. Have a blessed day, family. Enjoy your time with God. And I pray that, God willing, the Lord's will, we will be back together tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time, reading and studying A word. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. I love you all, and thank you. Have a great day. Don't forget and watch him work in your life. It's a wrap. It's time to go to work, y'all. Have a good day.